I feel sure that you have probably heard this parable before, the one that we heard in our gospel reading today. It is one of the most recognizable and famous stories from the whole Bible, the parable of the prodigal son. In fact, the phrase prodigal son has entered our general vocabulary far outside of its use in churches. For centuries, it's also been a favorite subject and theme in the arts. Paintings, literature, poetry, music, even ballet and opera. The cover of today's bulletin has one of those many paintings, a work from around 1670 by a Spanish artist named Bartholomew Murillo. Now, there's a lot of details in this painting, and a lot of details in this story, more than enough to discuss and think about to take up multiple sermons. But I like this particular depiction because it highlights the most important points. It gets right to the heart of the story. Right there, at the center of the picture, where our eyes are drawn to first, is the father and the young, wayward son. The son certainly looks like he's been having a rough time, disheveled, his shirt ripped, his pants in rags, his hair a mess, his face unshaven and smudged. His feet, especially, stand out, bare and dirty and worn. We don't see this young man the way he's described at the beginning, the proud, arrogant, self-centered man who demands his inheritance early and spends a time as the showy, flashy life of the party. We don't see him in what our world would normally consider his prime, living a Kardashian-like celebrity lifestyle when he's got it all, youth and money and so forth. No, here we only see him at the end, right at the point where our world would normally consider him the most pitiful and fallen the farthest. He's broke, he's hungry, he's walked a long way, and he drops to his knees to beg mercy from the man he's done the most to hurt and insult. Now we know that is the truth of how we have to approach God. Just like this son, we might rehearse our apology and think about what we might somehow offer to God in exchange for a bit of his mercy. We might work out some sort of deal in our mind. But when it really comes down to it, there's nothing to say. The truth of real godly repentance is nothing more than what this painting shows. No excuses, no bargains, nothing to offer, just falling on our knees. I also like this picture because it's a good image of repentance, but also because the image of the Father. Now, he is right at the center because the story is really about him. He's a big man. He's got a long gray beard and flowing robes, but you get the sense that he is still tall and strong, even in older age, and in the prime of his life, he must have been quite an imposing figure indeed. But the look on his face is important. He's not smiling. He's not laughing. The party that the gospel reading describes hasn't started yet. He's still right in the middle of that first greeting and the reunion. The parable says his father saw him and felt compassion. It's that compassion we see on his face before the celebration that will soon follow. He can't act like everything is just fine, at least not yet. His son has hurt him, and his son has hurt himself. There are certainly things that have to be put right. But on the other hand, he's not angry either. He doesn't have any harsh words or I told you so's. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love keeps no record of wrongs, and this father does not throw his son's stupidity and sinfulness back in his face. The son certainly has been stupid and sinful, but there are no recriminations in this moment. He wraps his arms around him and pulls him in. This is certainly an image of how God receives us. Now, his wrath and his punishment, his law and all the consequences for violating it, those are there to bring us sinners to realize that we need to repent, that we need to return, that we need to be saved. Now, when we do that, when we have realized that we are helpless and hopeless, and we do return to him like this, then he does not throw our sin back at us. He pronounces forgiveness and opens the door wide. The celebration is coming, the celebration that Jesus describes when he says there's inexpressible joy in heaven over even one sinner who repents. We see the celebration waiting in the wings here. There's a young boy on the left side of the picture. He's got a smirk on his face, and he's leading in the fatted calf to be prepared for the great feast. The joy and the celebration are coming, but first the father has to forgive and reassure his child. There's another feature about this painting I really like. While the fatted calf is waiting right there, there is another element of the parable that gets a stronger focus. On the right side, a servant stands ready with a new set of clothes. The father says, "Quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." Even as the son arrives, the robe and all are already prepared and waiting. He will be washed, shaved, and dressed. All the signs of his former mistakes will be wiped away. He's given a new beginning, a clean start. While the parable stops with this reunion and the day of joy, I wonder about the next day and the next. What will tomorrow be like? He's been welcomed back into the family. Everything has been put back to the way it was, and he is again ready to settle into daily life as the Father's son. And so we certainly see the pattern here that the Christian life follows. Our baptism and entry into the family of faith is talked about like new clothes at several points. Galatians chapter 3 says, "All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Romans chapter 13 says, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." This son has now returned and has been newly clothed to live a new life, rejoicing in the Father's goodness and hopefully not daydreaming fondly about those things that he did before. And we are given the same thing, a fresh start and freedom from all of our sin that is in the past. We are restored to our place in God's family, leaving behind what went before. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ." The parable ends the same way. This wayward son was dead, and now is alive. He was lost, and now he is found. Now maybe it is a little bit tempting to focus on the before versus the after. Just like a commercial for a diet pill, we might want to make the before picture look as bad as possible so that the after shot is such an improvement. And old-fashioned tent revivals, they loved it when people got up to talk about how awful they were before they got saved. "I drank, I smoked, I cursed, and so forth, always with the end, but because of Jesus, I cleaned up my life." Now, we do see the son's before side, but that is not what we should concentrate on. We should not concentrate on our own pasts either. The story is not about how we used to slop around with the pigs. It's about how while we were still sinners, the Father ran to meet us, to clean us up, to clothe us again. That's why I see the new clothes being brought out, and I think about tomorrow, about what comes next. The focus is not on the past and its failures and its sins. The focus is on the new day and on the new creation. Those are the words from our epistle reading for today from 2 Corinthians. "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." The old has passed away for the young son. He is washed and clothed and welcomed home. The past is forgiven. The old has passed away for us, too. Our past sins are just that, in the past. Cast away, forgiven in Christ. God has reconciled us to himself, and he has not counted against us all our trespasses, which are many. And that doesn't say that God will reconcile with us and will forgive us. It says that he has done this. It has happened. It is finished. In Christ, God has likewise reconciled the whole world. You are a new creation, no longer living like those who don't know Christ, who don't know God. Everything has been changed by this fatherly embrace. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, the epistle lesson says. The old sins are gone. Only the new creation in Christ remains. And the task of us, being the new creatures we are, is to act as ambassadors, to continue sharing the good news that this reconciliation has happened. In Christ, God has reconciled the whole world, and so return and rejoice. We are not barefoot and wearing tatters like the sun when he returns. We are now clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So we see the one who is truly prodigal in this parable is the Father himself. Our God is always a prodigal God. His grace and his mercy are prodigious beyond all expectation and all reason. Our position in his family as his beloved sons and daughters comes by his grace alone, shown to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he takes great joy in us. God welcomes us into his family as his child, and this comes through his kindness and his compassion for us. God's prodigal grace flows to us through Christ in abundance. He takes great joy in the salvation of each person, in your salvation. And in this we rejoice always, as in the words of today of the prophet Isaiah, "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth." Let this indeed be made known in all the earth. God has reconciled the world to himself in Christ.